No. We'll do it live! Fuck it!
Doing all right. I'm doing fine, actually. Other people are doing way worse than I am. That's for damn sure.
Are you talking about your child or that, whatchamacallit?
The entire city of Houston?
Houston, yeah.
Yes. I'm in my basement. There's no water in it, so things are good here.
How's your back?
Still sore. Yeah, but it's okay. It's manageable.
Well, that's good. This is going to be the second show I've done today.
Oh, yeah? What was the first show?
Well, around 6 o'clock, I wasn't sure if you were going to be available or not. So I'm like, I'll just bang out a half hour or whatever. So I start recording. I got like 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
And then like you said, like, you were ready later. So I'm like, all right, fine. I just paused it and I listened to it. And I had the wrong microphone on the
thing
because I'm not used to recording with that software. So it used the internal microphone from the computer. And it just sounded like shit. It was just garbage. I'm like, I was listening to it, and I thought I had my regular mic. I'm like, wow, I must have hit something, because this sounds horrible. I didn't know I sounded this bad. And then I realized my folly. And so all of my opinions here will be even more well thought out than usual.
Oh, wow. So this will be like a redo for you.
Kind of. I kind of did a show with you. I took that outline you sent me. I'm just like, let's just see what Matt says. Oh, I don't know what that's about. Let's go look it up. And we all went on the journey and things.
All right. So you're more prepared than usual. Because usually I just like to spring things on you and see how you react. So
yeah, and that's what I was hoping. You know, I was trying to recreate that all by myself. All by myself. I sang that earlier and it's stuck in my head.
You do a nice job.
I know.
Welcome to MMA and stuff on halfguarded.com. My name is Matt. That's Michael Coughlin. Obviously, the big news from
you're Matt, but you make sure to give my entire full name. Like, it's
usually when I introduce myself, I say, hi, I'm Matt.
Well,
if it's someone else.
It sounds kind of like you're making sure that my full name is on the record. And for whatever
in case they come and look for you.
Yeah, exactly. Like one day, like nobody's going to be like, oh, that wasn't me. Like they said your full name. I'm like, son of a bitch.
the chances of that happening are very slim.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm thinking more like if they go back and with the criminal indictment and all that, they're going to look
for a
pattern here. And
it's possible. What's the weather like out in Chicago right now?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's like low 70s here.
That's pretty much what it is for us. I feel like this hurricane took all the bad weather, and everybody else has this perfect weather.
I just saw something like between like Texas and Louisiana, Alabama, like the storms dumped 25 trillion gallons of water. Did you see that?
Wow, that's a lot of water, I think.
It was something like that. Well, a swimming pool, I don't even know what's in a normal swimming pool, like 10,000 gallons or something. Can you imagine 25 trillion?
I really have a tough time with, like, water, things like that. Like, I don't know what a gallon of water is.
Good.
Shut up. But when I, like, when like people say, like, oh, if you take a shower, it's like so many gallons per every shower. And I'm always like, I don't really know what, like, how long is that? Like, tell me my 5-minute shower or my 10-minute shower. When you're telling me it's so many gallons of water, I don't know what that is. Like, I know what the ocean's pretty fucking big. And I feel like there's, you know, a lot of gallons of water there.
Harvey has unloaded 24.5 trillion gallons of water on Texas and Louisiana. The volume of rain that's fallen would cover Washington, D.C. in water 1,410 feet deep, as tall as the Empire State Building.
Well, you know.
Does that help?
So the entire – wait, it would cover – oh, okay. So it would cover the entire circumference of Washington, D.C. up 1,000 feet?
Yes.
Holy shit. Okay, I don't really know how big Washington, D.C. is. But assuming it's, like, anything more than a city block, that's really big. Like, that's a lot of fucking water.
It essentially, if all the water were collected into a cube, each side would be 2.8 miles long.
Holy fuck.
It's a lot of water. They're screwed.
No wonder this is on the news so much. Like, I know what a hurricane is. Like, I know what a hurricane is. I'm not an idiot. But, like, right. You know, wait, hold on a second, though. How much did a regular thunderstorm drop? Like, how many
cubes
is that? Then I
mean, I was essentially planning on saving this for the end, but we can get into it now. I figured we'd start with Mayweather McGregor, but we can start with the worst storm in the history of man instead.
Is it worse than Katrina?
I think the amount of rainfall is. I think there was more, like, wind damage and stuff like that from Katrina, and that, like, levee break-in in New Orleans caused some damage. But anyway, the amount of rain that fell in Texas and Louisiana would have ended the historic California drought twice over.
Wow.
I
guess that's – I don't really know how much the drought was. I know that drought's over, so I don't really know what a drought means.
Right. Okay, how about this? 1 trillion gallons of water fell in the 4 days from Saturday through Tuesday. That's as much water as flows over Niagara Falls in 15 days. And that's just in Harris County.
Never seen Niagara Falls, but I have a pretty good frame of reference on it. But, okay, I kind of get that. That's 15 days in Niagara Falls. I don't know if that's not that much. It's just how much is going over it. I guess if that includes the whole river? Like, what are they? I don't know.
Okay. In Mount Bellevue, Texas, 52 inches of rain has fallen. That's the highest rainfall total in any storm in the history of the United States. To put that into perspective, it's approximately how much rain falls in Houston in an entire year. It has taken Death Valley 23 years to accumulate that much rain. It would take L.A. 4 years to hit 52 inches. And in the arid climate of Southern California, it would take more than a decade for 52 inches of rain to accumulate. They did it in 4 days, this one town in Texas.
Huh. That's pretty good.
If you like rain, yeah, it's pretty good.
Like 52 inches. I know I'm belaboring the point now, and everybody's like, shut the fuck up about it. But when they say 52 inches, is that like... I don't know, again, like the cube thing, that was pretty impressive. I'm like, okay, I don't know if it's like 52 cubic inches, or just like one straight line up, or how far it has to go. You know, I mean, I
get the impression like across the entire town, it was like 52 inches.
I did see a fucking video or whatever today of a highway, and the whole highway was covered like up to the top of the street sign above. And I don't know, I don't really know. It doesn't make sense to me unless you're in a valley, because to me, like, the water would just keep rolling and go. Maybe it's because I live in the Midwest and it's flat as shit here, but, like, floods don't make a lot of sense to me.
Maybe they're fake. Like, this is a flat earth thing. Maybe this is all a conspiracy. I don't know. Seems kind of real, though.
I don't know how flat earth works with hurricanes and oceans and, like...
The water should just run off the side of the earth, right? What the hell?
Yeah, I don't really totally understand what they're getting at. That's a pretty tough one to explain away. Like, it was a lot easier when you had it was easier to be against a round Earth. Like, oh, the Earth is flat, when you're not really sure how big it is, and, like, you don't have a concept of the scope of the universe and what's going on and, like, how shit looks. But, I don't know, like, the Earth would look fucking stupid in the universe. Like, everything else is round but us. Stupid.
Maybe there is nothing else. Maybe it's just us. Maybe they don't believe in...
They can see the fucking sky above them. I mean, it's really difficult to deny the moon.
I agree. I'm not a flat earther. Derek Lewis...
But your point guard is...
Oh, Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving is,
that's right. I forgot about that.
Fucking bizarre.
It is. I agree. So Derek Lewis lives in, like, the Houston area. I don't know if he lives right in Houston or what, but he had been showing some pictures and some stuff on his Instagram in different places, and he definitely had a lot of wind and rain. He was taking pictures of tornadoes and stuff. But in his area, which actually looks pretty nice, it didn't look like he was buried underwater or anything. But he has this huge-ass, like, pickup truck, like, elevated super high, and he's been out, like, helping people. He claims he's helped out over 100 people at this point, whether they're stuck in the house because the water's risen or they can't get out or they have no power, they have little kids. He's picking up racist guys with Confederate flags and taking them in his car and having awkward conversations with the people about it. The man is awesome. I liked him before just because I think he's funny and he talks a lot of shit. I find him entertaining, but it also turns out he seems like a pretty good dude helping all these people out too.
Yeah, I like to think that he hooked up two big chains to the back of these trucks and just pulling them, like, one arm on each truck, just dragging people out of the water. Like, he's just this, like, this John Henry mythical creature just emerges, like, oh, here's the giant black beast cage fighter, and he just, oh, I'm here, boy. This is getting kind of, I'm thinking like Green Mile, but less racist-y. Although, you know, if he doesn't care. If you got a Confederate flag, he just looks and goes, ah, get in, I don't care. Which, although, I don't think that guy was racist. I think that illustrates that the Confederate flag means different things to different people, because a real racist wouldn't be like, I'm really sorry, I know this would offend you. It doesn't sound like a racist to me. Racists don't worry about offending you. Like, that's kind of their deal.
They might worry when someone's saving their life, you know what I mean? Might change your tune just a little bit.
I guess, but, I don't know, the guy seemed really, like extra apologetic, and I don't know. I want to give him the benefit. I don't know why the fuck. I guess Houston was in the Confederacy. I know that parts of Arizona were the Confederacy. Makes no sense at all to me. My people have nothing to do with the stupid War of the States, as they call it in the South still, or the War of Northern Aggression. Fucking awesome. Like, that's up there with Planned Parenthood as far as, like, Orwellian kind of doublespeak names. Like, oh, yeah, the War of Northern Aggression. Yeah, that's one way to put it there, pal.
It's all spin. They were even spinning way back when.
I got nothing.
But, yeah, Texas is in rough shape.
I heard that Ann Coulter said that it was because the Houston elected a gay mayor or something.
Well, other people, I saw something, like a school teacher or somebody said it was because Texas voted for Trump.
Yeah, that's good. I would really hope that Coulter is being hyperbolic, you know, some sort of like...
That's not hyperbolic.
Satire, because, like, Coulter's not like a... she's not usually like a religious one. Like, she didn't deal in the religious stuff.
Mm.
But then again, I mean, that is the only reason God does have hurricanes. That's the problem with God, is that despite creating everything and having total control over everything, the only way he really knows how to deal with people that disappoint is a hurricane. He's not subtle. Maybe an earthquake. He's bigger than natural disasters. It's never just like a tiger attacks somebody or a light bulb goes out. No, he's got to destroy entire villages. He's got to work on that.
Derek Lewis, back to my buddy there, he said they gave us a few days, so I was prepared for the hurricane. I've got plenty of food, plenty of water, a generator, and medical supplies. And I had just installed an indoor gym in the house, so I've been working out on that. So in between saving all these racist people in his neighborhood, he is also working out in his basement gym to get ready for Fabricio Werdum, one of the greatest heavyweights of all time.
Well, going back to my racist caricature, he's got nothing else to do and he's not safe and whitey. He just got to go back to his home and I'm just going to work out now, boss. And then he comes out later and beats on people. It's a horrible, horrible stereotype, but it really kind of fits. I mean, what he sounded, where's that Ronda Rousey at? I'm going to break me out. I got to do number two. I got to make a doo-doo. Goddamn grown man saying doo-doo. Come on, man.
It's better that way. It makes it funnier.
Yeah, I know it does.
So this past weekend, we had the huge show in Verona, New York, Bellator. Just kidding. We had Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather, the fight of the century.
I think I watched that Bellator show.
I watched part of it, but I have no memory. I think I might have fallen asleep or something.
I remember I had nothing to do, and I was watching that for some reason, and I think it was like a lot of finishes. And there was like a chick or something I thought I remember. It doesn't matter. No one gives a fuck.
So on Saturday, August 26th, I should say, Floyd Mayweather beat Conor McGregor by TKO in the 10th round. I felt McGregor did better than most people anticipated, winning the first couple rounds. Then Mayweather started to turn it on in the 4th and 5th. McGregor was never knocked down, but he was definitely gassed towards the end and taking a lot of shots before the ref stepped in and stopped the fight. Overall, I think you got to consider this thing a huge success. Mayweather obviously got his 50th win. McGregor wasn't embarrassed, and everybody involved made a lot of money. So it could have gone way worse in a number of different directions, but I give it a thumbs up, and I think it worked out for everybody, even the viewing audience. It wasn't the most boring fight. It was entertaining, and I think everybody walked away saying this was a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, Conor McGregor, I think, just became a bigger star than ever. And just being in there with Floyd was one thing. And even if he had lost really bad, he still would have been a star. But the way the fight played out, with it going longer and longer, the whole story was, look at Conor. Everybody talked about Conor. Nobody was talking about Floyd. There wasn't like a lot of praise, like, oh, look at this genius Floyd. It was more everybody going, wow, Conor's doing way better. And it was every single round. So all anybody talked about was Conor. Nobody's talking about Floyd now. The fight's over a week later, and people are still talking about, oh, you see what Conor did? And people are arguing about, oh, how many punches did Conor land? Did he do better than this guy? Did he blah, blah, blah? Like, Conor's the story. Floyd is just a guy with a lot more money to spend at his own strip club.
Do you think Floyd was trying it in the beginning?
Yes.
Do you think he was?
Yes.
But do you think it was part of his strategy to tire Conor out? Because
yes.
He didn't even throw punches. Like, he threw like six punches in the second round or something.
Yeah, it was both. Do I think that he was giving it to Conor? No. I don't think at all. I don't think this was him carrying Conor or anything like that. I think this was a case of, he knew that this isn't a fight. It's a boxing match. In a fight, you can't pace yourself. You don't take your time. You just go in there. He was pacing himself. He was playing strategy because he's boxing. And he even said, he goes, I came in there. I knew early on he'd be wasting his power. I didn't want to kind of do that. He came up with that defensive shield. I think he was intentionally draining Conor. But I also think that if he didn't try to intentionally drain him, he would not be as effective. If we say the strategy that Floyd used right now, say that wins 90% of the time, if he was to go in there and not be passive in the early rounds and be aggressive and really take chances, that does greatly increase Conor's odds of winning. Suddenly he's not 1 in 10. He might be 3 or 4 out of 10 times he wins. And if you're Floyd, you're just going, that ain't worth it. So I don't think that he can necessarily beat, we'll say, Conor in a short burst of a fight. He has to win over a long run. And so, yes, he kind of gave things away, but he was also just kind of, he couldn't do it. Like, you have to give it away if you're Floyd. That's just what you have to do. It's kind of one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's not paradoxical. It's just inevitable. And so with that, you know, is the only way out. And knowing that Matt wants me to talk for a bit because he's run off.
I'm going to come right back.
Oh, he's back? No, he's gone.
I'm leaving right now, but I'll be back. I got a question for you. Do you think the stoppage was too early?
I thought you were fucking gone the whole time. That's why I kept talking.
I was waiting for you to stop. I'll be right back.
Okay, yeah. So was the, I think he said stoppage too early. Damn, I was going to smoke some. Yeah, actually, I do think it was early. It was within the zone there, right? It was within the Bayesian or whatever, like a, not Bayesian. It was within an acceptable range there, so it wasn't a robbery. But just because something wasn't terrible, doesn't mean it wasn't bad. And that was bad. Connor wasn't out. He didn't get dropped. He took he took shots, but he was clearly there. Like he was moving. He took it just looked like. Was he fighting back? No. Was he going to win? No. Was he going to take more punishment? Yeah. So in the sense of, it stopped the inevitable. But this is a fight. You get to fight through and try to stave off the inevitable. And I think that Connor had that chance taken from him. Some of this also, I would say, arises from the way the referee treated Connor earlier in the fight. During the stare down right there at the beginning, when they went through the pre-fight instructions, the referee just looked at Connor and only at Connor, ignored Floyd completely, didn't even address him, made it very clear that, Connor was the one to watch and all this stuff. And I frankly think that was embarrassing. It was an embarrassing display because Connor's a professional fighter who's fought in the state of Nevada in Las Vegas numerous times, as much as almost anybody has. Don't act like he's some amateur. So, yeah, I do think that it was stopped a little early. I'm not going to cry about it, but I think in the biggest fight ever, you get a little more leeway, and Connor's a tough son of a bitch. It wouldn't have mattered, but, yeah, fuck that ref.
I thought it was a little early, too, in the biggest fight ever, but he wasn't coming back either, so I wasn't that upset. But, like, right when he stopped, I'm like, yeah, he should have let it go a couple more shots at least. But, for Connor's sake, I don't think it was a bad stoppage, but another couple shots would have been okay, too.
I mean, let's face it. It was actually probably the best thing that could happen for Connor because you're going to lose this fight. The longer it goes on, the worse you're going to look overall. Right now, we saw a half an hour where for a good portion of that, you look really good. If it goes another 3 or 4 rounds, that's another, 10, 12 minutes where you're going to look bad. So this preserves Connor. He doesn't go down. There's enough controversy that he can be like, hey, I didn't go out. I didn't get dropped. I'm not saying I would have won. And he did that afterwards. Like, I just wanted to go out on my shield, so he's got a little bit of saving grace. So for Connor's sake, it's the best thing for his mental health, his physical health, his spiritual health, his financial health, and probably his girlfriend's health. I don't know why she's not his wife. I mean, they've been together forever. She's clearly not a gold digger. And they have a child. Get married, you dumb bastard. Embrace it. Be a role model.
So judgmental.
Yep.
Overall, how would you grade Connor's performance?
A-, B-plus, A-, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he hung in there and did well. I mean, you could clearly see the difference in skill level between the two. Like, everybody was saying McGregor was coming from different angles, and I get that, but some of his punches were, like, so loopy, and some of those jabs he was throwing had nothing on them. And I know he's trying to gauge the distance a little bit, that sort of thing, but it was obvious that he wasn't, like, a real skilled boxer. He was in there, and he was hanging around, and he had the size advantage and all that, and that helped him last a while, but... I don't know how much better he could have done under the circumstances.
Yeah, and he fought the greatest of a generation and went into the 10th round. And I don't care if Floyd had been out. We went over this so many times about the gap, what should be the gap between them. Like, I can't imagine that if Connor was to grapple Marcelo Garcia, that it would be really, really competitive for a while. And then only at the very end we go, wow, he really pulled it out there. Like, no. He would smote him badly, or smite him. But Connor did what he could. I think he did have he's got a different style of boxing, and it's not just the way he moves, and not just being an amateur, but it's also you could see he boxes still with the idea of 4 ounce gloves in his head. Some of those like turning over, right. Like some of the weird punches, they're kind of looping, but looping punches are what you have to do in MMA because you can loop. You can go around a guard so much easier, whereas you can't obviously do it in boxing. That said, you know what? That just really shows, again, how superior mixed martial artists are to boxers. We have adapted well.
Well, what do you see next for Connor? Is he going to box again, or is he going to go back to UFC? You think he's done forever off a $100 million payday? What's next?
Connor's a Trump-like figure, man. He's one of those guys where after a while you just kind of be like, I don't know, man. Like, this guy just keeps pulling shit out of his ass and being bigger and bigger and bigger. I think his next fight is in MMA. I just can't see this Paulie Malignaggi thing. Like, if it's in boxing, the only reason Conor would get paid more is simply due to the economic model of boxing. And if that's the case, Conor should just do boxing forever because he'll always make more that way. But otherwise, it's Paulie Malignaggi. Like, he's kind of a goof, and nobody wants to see that. There's nothing fun about that. So I think he does MMA next. I have no idea who. I would kind of guess that it's Nate, just because it's Nate and that's the most money, and when in doubt, Conor goes for the most money.
Yeah, I mean, that all signs point towards Nate. It's kind of a bummer for Tony Ferguson if he beats Kevin Lee, but we will see where that goes. Somebody will probably get injured and not be able to fight, or Nate won't want the fight for some ludicrous reason. Who the hell knows how that'll go. Will Floyd ever fight again? Is he truly retired now?
I think he is.
There's not some celebrity fight he'll want in 5 years?
No, because, again, he's 40. And mm-hmm. That's kind of, it's a tipping point anyways. The older he gets, the more it becomes a, okay, this is, you actually could lose. And, I mean, look, I guess some big star could come out of nowhere that didn't exist. I mean, hell, 3 or 4 years ago, Conor McGregor boxing Floyd Mayweather didn't seem like it would ever happen and be what it is. But I don't know. I mean, he's not going to fight Canelo again or Triple G. He's not going to take a real fight
right
to do what, be 51? I mean, come on. If you got any kind of appreciation for being OCD, you can't be 51. I mean, this is ugh.
Will he have trouble with the IRS again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Even with a $250 million payday?
Oh, it's not going to be anything like where he's out of money, I don't think. I think he'll probably be okay with that. But it's just like what he's got right now. Like, he's not broke. It's more just, he probably, the kind of money this idiot spends. Somebody didn't write something down right. I'm sure that strip club of his is going to screw up something with their taxes. Like, that just screams a problem.
And being a money pit, I guarantee you he's going to lose a ton of money on that, but it won't matter because he's got so much anyway. It's not like a real person who's trying to start a business and open a business. If it loses, a couple hundred grand a year, it won't matter. But I just see people stealing money from that place and walking out with stuff all the time. But
oh, yeah, I mean,
that's just my guess.
Here's the thing, though. If you're him and you know you're going to be going to strip clubs a lot, if you always go to your strip club, with the kind of money these idiots do throw around,
yeah,
it might almost be net neutral on that one, revenue neutral.
Maybe. Did you see the money belt that was awarded to Floyd at the end of the fight?
Yeah, the belt that he created.
Yeah, well, was it the W?
No, it was supposedly the WBC award.
WBC.
It, but apparently Floyd's people made it.
Right.
He gave it to the WBC to give it back to them.
Right, but did you read what it entailed?
It was 3,000 diamonds and all kinds of stuff.
Well, they were saying it was made from alligator leather and encrusted with 1.5 milligrams of 24-karat gold, 3,360 diamonds, 600 sapphires, and 300 emeralds. But I saw, Dana holding it and somebody else holding it. They all said it smelled like shit because of the alligator leather. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't. That's fantastic.
Yeah. They're like, it smells terrible. Like, multiple people said that.
You know, when you were listening to all this, I was thinking in my head, and I'm not kidding, the thing that I find most offensive about that, even though I know that a lot of the diamonds are probably blood diamonds and human beings died, is the fucking alligator thing. It's just so stupid. I don't think it's classy. It's alligator. It just screams moron with money.
Yeah, is that... Leather, but is that any worse than, like, like cow or what steer, whatever they use for leather normally?
It's not really. It's just because it's rare, it seems dumber.
I understand.
I don't know if it's so much that I care about the alligator as though some asshole that they go, oh, this is really cool. So, no, just use regular leather.
Yeah, I feel worse for the kids in Africa who are dying to get it. Have you ever seen those things, the kids in Africa, they're trying to get, like, I forget what the stuff's called. It's some...
Unobtainium?
Yeah, whatever you need to make lithium batteries, like lithium? For cell phone. But there's a name. It starts with a C or something. All I can think is codeine, and I know that's not right. But it's crazy. Like, they go down in these tiny little mines, and they send kids because the mine shafts are so small. It's like they're breathing in all this dust.
I mean, dogs won't work, so kids is what it's got to be.
It's just funny because... Here you get, like, that brand-new cell phone or a kid gets an iPad for Christmas. It's, like, the best thing ever. But nobody ever thinks about the suffering that's going on half the way around the world for it. It's crazy.
People can't do that. I mean, look at this way. We don't think about the suffering, sure, but we don't think about, like, anything. Like, you eat some bread. Like, seriously, you eat some bread. You're not sitting there thinking, oh, think about how hard some farmer worked for this. I'm only giving him a... whatever bread cost, $2 for this loaf of bread. Oh, he works so hard. It's like, fuck it. He's just a farmer.
But at least he's choosing to be a farmer. It's a little different than enslaved children in Zambia or wherever it is.
Look, that's just their culture. That's how they do things. I'm not going to judge them.
That is so not your style.
That's what they do. I'm evolving.
Okay, you're woke.
I was just going to say I'm woke.
I know.
I'm sleep woke.
You know who's not woke? The judges who scored this fight. Were you aware one of the judges only had Connor winning the first round and not the second or third?
Yeah, that's pretty...
What the hell?
That's between that guy and the referee, who I thought was just a condescending dick to Connor.
Yeah.
It just seemed like this just screamed, fuck it, man, I'm woke. This is just old, rich, fat, white guys, man, and they don't get it. This is a sport for people of color and for the future. This is LGBTQ2IA something, SF sport. So, fuck you, Harry Reid.
Can you imagine if, like, Connor had won the 11th and 12th round, and it should have been, like, you know, 6-6. Like, it should have been competitive, and they only had him winning one round. How people would have flown off the handle and been like, it was rigged, this is bullshit, I hate boxing. Yeah. Like, the fight ending in the 10th and not going to the scorecards was to the benefit of everyone, I think.
Yeah, if somehow, by some miracle, and it wouldn't have happened, but if it had happened, Connor had been screwed out of a decision, it would have killed boxing forever. There would be legitimate congressional inquiries into everything. Like, it's so high profile. There's so much money at stake, and it's a white guy getting screwed by a black guy, an Irish white guy. Oh, you tell me Trump wouldn't be all... Oh, wait. Oh, but Trump knows Floyd, too. Ooh, that's a tough one. Oh, well, somebody in Boston would do it. Your mayor, who sounds like he's from Boston. It's hilarious.
Wait, what?
I saw your mayor, the Boston mayor on TV the other day.
Marty Walsh.
Yeah, and like the way he speaks,
yeah,
it's just so Boston. Like,
yeah.
It's not like you're from, like, it's a, I mean, I was fucking Boston. We went down there with the Sallys, me and Johnny, we just fucking lit them up, yeah. How about them apples?
Did you see one of the Kennedys got, and his daughter got arrested over the weekend or something? They were like wasted in Hyannisport running around.
Kennedys still.
Yeah. I mean, JFK used to come, I think actually his dad used to come down to the Cape, but they would summer in Hyannisport, which is 20 minutes from here. And they still have, like, the Kennedy compound. Like, that was the thing Ted Kennedy would go to and all of them.
Is that by Chappaquiddick?
Chappaquiddick is Martha's Vineyard, which is an island off the Cape. There's Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard, which are islands off Cape Cod. Yeah.
Wait, is that where the Hamptons are?
No, that's on the end of Long Island. That's New York.
I thought Long Island sucked.
The first end does. The farther away you get from, like, New York City, Manhattan, the nicer and richer it gets. The Hamptons are, I believe, the east end of Long Island.
I guess I'm trying to, now I'm kind of like picturing it, I feel like that kind of sucks. Because what? I would feel like I'd feel very claustrophobic if I was in the Hamptons.
Well, I think it takes forever to get out there, like hours if you drive, because Long Island's long, and it takes a while to get to it. I've never actually been. I've only
but
heard
it
this.
It still feels like if I'm rich, I'm trapped with poor people. Like you drive
past them. Well, right, but you could say that about Manhattan. You're trapped in the lower. You're trapped in there too, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, but you have your home there. In the Hamptons, you're trying to escape for a break, and yeah. Then when the poor people come for you, you're stuck by the ocean, probably like a big cliff. And so they're going to push you over. Oh, if I was rich, I'd be very afraid of the Hamptons right now.
The vineyard, Martha's Vineyard, is where Clinton and Obama would vacation in the summer.
Are there? Is it an actual vineyard?
You know, I'm not sure the history of the name of Martha's Vineyard, but there's very little wine, like wine growing in this area just because
of
the soil.
Camp David?
I don't know where Camp David is. That's south. That's like Virginia or something, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah,
that's in the Hamptons.
No, Camp David's like we'll find out. I got the old Google here. But yeah, anyway, some of the Kennedys got arrested again for like public intoxication, which I'm sure they've gotten away with many a times.
They just called it pulling a Kennedy out there.
But that was why it was weird. I was surprised to see a story in the paper about, like, I don't know if it might have been Robert Kennedy's, the Kennedy who got assassinated that wasn't JFK. Robert Kennedy was running for president or whatever in the 70s or 68, whatever that was. His son, I think, is the one that got busted for being an idiot. David.
The crazy environmentalist, RFK Jr.?
No, another son.
Oh, okay.
Camp David, Maryland. It's near Thurmont, Maryland. Camp David.
That's close to New York.
Is it close to Virginia? I don't know.
I know it's closer to Virginia. I mean, Maryland's right. Wait, yeah.
Yeah. You should do a geography show.
I actually know my geography, thank you. It's just some of these East Coast liberal elite vacation spots. They're not on my radar just yet. Also, I was really confused when I learned that Palm Beach is in California. I learned that earlier today. I could have sworn it was Palm Beach, Florida. Like, why the fuck do I know Palm Beach, Florida? Palm Beach, California doesn't sound right at all.
Have you heard about Malibu?
Yeah.
Good.
Is that Palm Beach?
I don't think so, but I know it's also in California.
That's where Pepperdine.
And rich liberals live there.
Yeah, in Pepperdine University. Which is a gigantic, dry campus Christian university.
No shit.
In fucking Malibu. What a fucking waste. You can't do that in Malibu, you assholes. You gotta have like Arizona State, it's like, I don't know, annex school has to be in Malibu. Not a fucking Christian. Holy shit. It's like putting a mosque on beachfront property. What a waste.
They're not. There's probably not a lot of Pepperdine kids on the drunk people doing things Instagram account.
Not at all. God, that's great.
Isn't that the best?
You should tell people what it is.
There's an Instagram account called Drunk People Doing Things, and it's all these drunk, like, college-age kids getting wasted and, like, power-bombing each other through tables and falling down and drinking and running through doors and jumping through stuff. And once you start watching it, it's very, very difficult to stop.
It's just the number of people that get set on fire. There's a lot of people that try to jump through tables and the tables don't break.
Yes.
And a lot of failed swings on ropes.
Yes. Yeah, into the water. Yeah, those are good.
Or that one guy that just ran off a roof.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones out there. Hundreds of videos, and they're all quick. They're like 10 seconds each. It's basically a drunk version of, I don't even know. What's that show on MTV? Not Jackass, but I can't even think. It's basically people just hurting themselves. It's the old
like
version
Jackass,
of America's older version of a newer version of America's Funniest Home Videos or whatever.
Yeah,
but there's just something classic and timeless about people getting hurt. But the fact that they're drunk and think these things are a good idea make it even better.
Oh, yeah, because drunk people, they try things that nobody sober would ever try. Like, sober people, if they try to jump from a sink through a wood table, and then they miss the table completely and just, like, hit their head on the ground, a sober person is just like, oh, fuck. A drunk person is like, hold on, I gotta get back up and do it again, and then they jump and bounce off the table still. A sober person never gets to the bouncing stage.
Right, and the other thing is everybody else is usually drunk at these parties, too, so they cheer the person and, like, encourage them to do it, and then they go nuts when they do it, but the person's probably got, like, a severe concussion and a broken arm, and everybody's just going nuts. It's like a weird, like, indie wrestling show at the same time.
Yeah, because, like, if you're sober and you smash a beer bottle over your head, you're going to feel it, unless you're, you know, like a Tank Abbott or something. But if you're drunk, you just go, oh look at that, I'm bleeding.
Yeah, I'm picturing the one kid with the Corona bottle.
Yeah.
He was, like, dancing around, chugs the Corona, breaks the bottle over his head, first shot, which is impressive. Like, if you remember, do you remember the Mick Foley Sabu matches where he was trying to break that bottle over Foley's head and it wouldn't break, it just kept bouncing off his head, and they kept doing it? This kid breaks this Corona bottle, one shot, but somehow, like, just gashes his ear open, it's bleeding everywhere. He keeps dancing, takes another sip of beer, he's like, I'm bleeding really bad, and the kid filming it says, bring that gusher over here. Like, just laughing, want to get a better picture of it, like, blood just dripping out of his ear, like, clearly needed stitches, needed to, like, worse than any UFC fight, like, Joe Lozon, Diego Sanchez had nothing on the blood coming out of this kid's ear, but because he's so drunk or fucked up or whatever else he's doing, it's like he doesn't even feel it and just keeps dancing. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, or the one when they're trying to tap the guy's beer, it gets an overflow, and he's so drunk. And then right when you think the beer bottle is just going to pop, he just pukes everywhere, all over this chick. And I'm just like, oh, yes. All you people all deserve it. And there's so many people. There's, like, this one black guy who's just sitting there on a couch, and he was, like, sleeping and vomiting all over the place. But, like, he was still asleep, and, like, he's just got puking. And I guess that's what happens if you puke in your sleep. If you're sleeping, but, like, I've never seen it happen when you're sitting up, and it just looks so fucking weird. Like, he just kept doing it, and he's asleep. You see the act of vomiting, and it looks like it's something you can only do if you're awake. And to have that happen when you're asleep, I guess I always thought it just kind of, like, ooze out of you or something.
Mm.
I guess you really do have your convulsions or whatever. You kvetching.
But the other awesome part about it is the people around. Someone sits there and records this kid puking all over the couch, all over himself. There's somebody sitting next to him watching him puke everywhere. It's like nobody tries to move him or clean anything up. Or, like, this person's couch is ruined, his clothes are ruined, and no one cares. Like, normally I'd be like, oh, shit, dude, get into the bathroom. You're puking all over my couch. They're like, no, we're going to film this shit.
Yeah, the sober reaction, which would be funny, would be, oh, my gosh, and we'd all kind of laugh because it'd be like, that's what my reaction would be. But the drunk reaction is, whoa.
Somebody get their camera.
Yeah. Oh, that is, do it again. Yeah.
Did anybody on the undercard of Mayweather-McGregor catch your eye?
Well, let's see. On the undercard, what did I see?
There was the guy with
Larry
the weird.
Okay. Larry looked all right. He did get beat by Rosie. Oh, that's right. I was watching Curb Enthusiasm. I don't want to fucking undercard this shit show.
Okay, just that. So they didn't build any new stars, I take it.
Not that I'm aware of. I thought the UFC had more stars. Actually, the two people who became the biggest, got the biggest bump out of this, setting aside Connor, Paulie Malignaggi kind of, and Brendan Schaub seems like a much bigger star now, which is so sad because what a waste. I wish he would go away.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I wasn't going to go there yet, but did you see the interaction with him and Nate Diaz backstage? They were essentially arguing about McGregor's performance in the fight with Mayweather. Diaz said Schaub was ignorant about fighting, and Schaub said Conor had teed off on Nate. Nate gets pissed. It escalated from there with Schaub basically walking away and Nate calling Schaub a little bitch. It was a pretty good confrontation. I'd recommend seeing it. There's been a little debate about exactly what Schaub had said to him. Schaub was on Joe Rogan, I think, yesterday, and talking about the card, and he said something like, he said to Nate, use your words, which is would probably piss Nate off as well. I don't know if that's making fun of the way he talks or his
he was talking
lack
about Rogan,
of word
like,
choice
he
or
was
what.
Trying to, I think he was trying to say, like, Nate, you need to, like, I don't think he was mocking his speech impediment so much as, hey, stupid, you got to say something more besides you're a bitch. Like, give me an argument.
It was good. But I think Nate said something like, how'd your career turn out? Like, yeah. Nate had some good – Nate won the argument, I felt. But it was just funny because, like, Schaub's version of it is there were, like, Showtime executives around, and they were all like, who the fuck is this freak? And Schaub's like, oh, that's who Connor's probably going to fight next. And he was playing it off like all these executives were like, that guy's psycho. But it was just like Nate being Nate, and to a degree, Schaub was needling him a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And I liked when Schaub was, like, talking to Rogan, and he's saying something, and it was – I know, Nate's saying that, come on, and I'm sitting there going, like, what does he think is going to happen? Bitch, Nate was going to stab you. That's what was going to happen. That's exactly, Nate was going to fight you. He would 100% without flinching throw hands with Brendan Schaub. He's a Diaz. They're insane. Everything they do is 100% pure in the moment. So, yeah. It was great, and I don't know who these boxing executives, these Showtime people are. I mean, did they somehow know Brendan Schaub, but they have no clue about anybody else? And yeah, it just seems so. Schaub's a big phony.
I'm not a huge fan, but it's also funny because people forget Schaub. Granted, he wasn't like an elite heavyweight, but he hung around in the UFC a while. He beat Krokop. It's not like he's a total sham of a fighter by any stretch. It's just funny that Nate doesn't give a shit. Like, he'll go after a guy who outweighs him by probably 50 pounds anyway and have no fear and just go at him. Unless he knew Schaub was just going to back down, but it just adds to the legend of the Diaz brothers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. When you're, like, 3 hours out from your after your last fight and you're smoking weed in front of everybody and you have the balls thumb, nah, it's not weed. I wasn't smoking weed. What are you talking about? It wasn't weed. I don't have a reputation for this. Yeah.
Yeah, I think people forget that about Schaub, and because he doesn't come off at all like a tough guy in any way, shape, or form. He wears like he talks about his Gucci boots and his tight pants, and basically plays up the pretty boy aspect. But the dude was a UFC fighter. It wasn't like he was a complete sham.
No, he was an underachiever. Or maybe an overachiever in some respects. Like, he even kind of talked about it with Rogan, where just having that McGregor level of self-confidence can get you places. And Rogan basically said, yeah, man, like, you beat Krokop. Kind of like, yeah, your confidence got you places you shouldn't have been. And that's really kind of how I read. And I think even Schaub was kind of like I fought better. I beat people maybe I shouldn't have because I was so confident. I think there's... He's absolutely right on that, and that's why I wish he had stuck around more, because then I could just see more people with confidence punch his smug face in.
I like that episode of the Joe Rogan Experience where Rogan basically, he was asking him something about Kane. Do you think you could, like, grapple or wrestle with Kane? And essentially Schaub's like, yeah, I think I could. And Rogan's like, are you insane? Kane would destroy, like, he's saying this right to his face. And it's weird because I don't know how you say that on a podcast to your friend that gets like over a million views every week. Just buried him. He's like, Kane would destroy you. I don't think you move well. I think you're going to get knocked out. And I don't think you should fight anymore.
I get the impression that Rogan and Schaub must be really, really tight.
Because now, but, or you think like that was a work?
No,
like that was planned?
Work, not a work, more just they're so close that, and they're probably, you know, high as shit, and Rogan's like, dude, you're not going to beat him? Like if I was sitting around with my brother and he keeps going to fight Connor, I'd be like, you're going to outbox him? What are you, insane? No, like, look at you. You're older. You don't know how to box. So maybe that's just what he was doing. Or, you know, because he did give Schaub that shit real bad about how he needed to retire because he sucked. And he was right on that.
It's just odd to do it on your podcast.
Rogan's life is a podcast at this point. I don't even know if he knows the difference.
Do you think the success of this show will help the Triple G Canelo card?
Yeah.
You think more people will be into boxing because of this, or?
Yeah, this is the first. It's true. This is the first gigantic mainstream boxing match that's left people walking away going, "Huh, that was pretty good." In decades, like, you never, ever have seen anything where a gigantic boxing match everybody's looking forward to, and people started talking about how much they enjoyed it the next week. Usually it's, "Oh, that was so awful," or best case it's, "Oh, that was okay." This was actually good. That's unparalleled in boxing history lately. So yeah, honestly, the last time I remember it, and that was a rarity, was in England with what's his face, and that was kind of unique. So Americans aren't used to being happy with boxing.
Do you think it follows the show too closely, though? I mean, you think people will be willing to shell out another $60 for a pay-per-view after spending $100 on Connor and Floyd?
Maybe not. When is that pay-per-view? Is that this weekend?
I think it's in September. I think we got some time.
I wonder if it could be like that, you know, separate billing cycle changes things or whatever. Like, I don't know how that always plays with people. I don't think it's going to hurt. It's not going to cause them any buys. Whoever's going to buy it is going to buy it. So it can only probably add at this point.
And did you see Dana claim that the show did 6.5 million buys?
No, but I don't think Dana's going to be pulling numbers out of nowhere, so...
I mean, I haven't seen anything anywhere else. He was, I forget where, it was like Uriah Faber's Instagram or something. They were doing something for the Contender Series, and Faber asked him, and he said 6.5 million.
The number's probably high. Promoters tend to like to have the biggest thing ever, but I bet it's not going to be so out of the realm where you just go, really, Dana, it was only 3 million, and you said 6.5. So it'll probably be 6 or something. Huge.
Yeah, to me it might be a little early to even know. I'm guessing they're basing that on, you know, Fight Pass and other services that aren't traditional cable, because it seems like those numbers take forever to come in. But
yeah, cause it's only 2017. Heaven forbid you'd be able to just flick a switch and tell everybody these things right away.
It is odd.
For fuck's sake. It's like when they had like the no, I'm going to hold that because I have a feeling I know what you're going to talk about next.
Illegal streaming? Things crashing.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, multiple, like, pay-per-view providers crashed the night of the fight, which would give you the impression that this is going to do on par with what the Pacquiao fight did, because that did 4.6. So if stuff didn't crash for that one, 2-3 years later it crashes, you would think it would have to be doing better than 4.6. You'd think the cable providers would be prepared for that. But the big one that crashed, I saw, was Fight Pass. People who subscribe to Fight Pass could buy the show for $100 through Fight Pass, and a lot of them couldn't get it. So they didn't get to see the show at all, and they paid for it. Just, I think, yesterday, UFC put out a statement saying they'll be refunding everyone who had issues watching the show. But they might have lost a couple hundred thousand buys that way, too.
No.
No?
I mean, I'm sure that it happened here and there, but this sounds kind of like one of those stories that's exaggerated because everybody wants it to be. Like, seriously, how can you, like this is, again, it's 2017. This isn't, oh, no, I called them, but all the phone lines are busy. I don't know if I can order this. Like, you just hit a button, and then some machine just flips a switch. There's not, like, a limited number of you know, television stream is that you can put out there. I mean, it's just another channel. It's like if everybody ordered HBO tomorrow, they'd all have HBO. It wouldn't say, oh, they've overloaded the HBO server or something like that. So I think this is probably just one of those, oh my gosh, so many people are going crazy. It's shutting down the servers. Everything's breaking. We're just out of control. Eh. Fuck off. It's probably just out in like Utah or something.
Maybe Houston.
Yeah, there you go, you bastard. Actually, there was no such thing as a hurricane back then.
It didn't exist.
Yes, it did. It did at that point. I just remember that the hurricane came about real, real fast. And everybody's like, oh, it came out of nowhere. And that's when I'm just like, I give up on weather. Don't give me a 10-day forecast if you fuckers can't see a hurricane coming.
Well, I think they knew. I mean, Derek Lewis was talking about that. He said they had a few days' notice.
A few days, but if you can't give me 10 days' notice on a hurricane, don't expect me to believe that you know what the weather is going to be like in 10 days. Because if you can't see a hurricane coming, that's a pretty big miss.
Have you studied much meteorology?
I know that if you want to tell me that in 10 days it's going to be sunny out, and then in 10 days there's a hurricane, you're really shitty at your job.
They're forecasts, though.
Yeah. They're just making it up.
Okay.
They're just guessing. They're just calling the guy down the road, and they're going, it was kind of sunny there. It's going to be sunny here. I'll throw in some bullshit about a high-pressure system. This is why we have the pretty girl do this anyways.
Piracy seemed to be a major issue for this show, too. The Hollywood Reporter estimated that nearly 2.93 million viewers illegally streamed the fight on video streaming websites and apps such as Periscope. There's nothing you can really do about that, right?
I thought it was like 100 million people, they said, or something like that. But,
I think that's fake news.
It all is these days. I mean, as far as how to stop it, I thought that Facebook Live thing was a real potential loophole for a while. Like, I saw that once. I'm like, how the fuck? How do you stop that? How do you, like, all you can do is go around and try to shut down every individual thing. But, come on, half the shit's coming from overseas. You know, if I could turn on the fucking Facebook and there's Ethiopian, and I see that sometimes. I've watched soccer matches with some fucking Nigerian feed. Because that's what was there. Can't stop Nigerians. They're out of control, man. Like, they're just too good at this stuff.
Well, I mean, Facebook can, though. Facebook can close that person's account down.
All they can do is stop one person. But, again, it's Hydra. You know, you cut off one, six more sprout off. It's just, again, I don't actually think it's a long run, a huge problem. Because if it gets big enough, it's to be noticeable. Then it's easy enough to shut down. And if it's not, it's just so many little people out there. If it's every stream, if every illegal stream's got two people looking at it, it's just not going to be time effective for that to really happen. So it's much ado about nothing.
Well, I read one dumbass article that was saying, you know, if 3 million people illegally stream this, it was a loss of revenue for Mayweather and McGregor of, like, whatever, $300 million or whatever it is. It would be $300 million. But those people were unlikely to buy the show if they didn't get a stream.
Fuck
just
you.
Because you
fuck you. I am woke. And that is
okay.
That is $200 million taken from a black man. That is not fair.
But do you know what I'm saying? Just because you watch a stream doesn't mean you're going to buy the show. Like, I've watched some streams, but I still wasn't going to pay for the show if the stream didn't exist. I just watched the stream because it was there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I watched a stream of this thing, and if I couldn't find one, I was not going to pay for it.
Yeah.
I just said, okay, I won't get it, and that's fine. That's on me. I don't get to see it. So be it. And the stream I found was shitty, and it kind of went in and out. I'm like, all right, that's what you get for free. And it was all said and done. I made the right decision because it's $100 for one fight. And the odds are it was going to be bad, but they overdid the odds.
What would you have paid for it?
A normal pay-per-view price, $50 or whatever.
Yeah.
I could have seen that. That would have been like, okay, fine. But and honestly, one of the problems I had is it's boxing.
Right.
I just I am so tired of... And they did a great job as far as being over on at a good time. Because I thought for sure this thing was going to be like, all right, the fight will start at like, you know, 2 in the morning. Is this shit's done in the past? I was like, I don't want that. I don't want to stay up for so long. But it looks like they got it going. So, yeah, $50 or whatever for 4 fights. Yeah, and I probably would have watched them too. But $100, I ain't doing that shit.
Did you see the New York Times live coverage of the fight?
I saw one dumbass headline.
They claimed the finish was Connor was covered in blood and falling through the ropes when the fight was stopped. Like, what the hell? He had no blood at all on his face. Like, they used the term covered in blood. Like, I was like, what the hell? And then they changed it. Like, people started calling him out, and they rewrote the article. They rephrased it or whatever. I'm like, Jesus Christ, who is watching this thing? Like, is Floyd Sr. writing this
What they did is they had, like, review? The theater critic or somebody like that. Or, you know,
the restaurant critic.
Exactly. And he's just like, oh, my gosh. And then the fight ended, and he was covered in blood as he's about to fall through the ropes. Oh, it was just so dramatic. All these brutes and their fisticuffs. Oh, my goodness. Oh, me. Oh, my. Oh, Mr. Pennyworth.
Snoop Dogg had an interesting reaction to the finish of the fight. Did you catch this?
Fuck that. That's my nigga. Floyd, you're my nigga. Fuck you. Hey, oh, wait, hold on. All right, mad respect to Connor. But, you know, fuck you. You don't come out. But respect to Connor.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. He's like 50-0, the motherfucking champ, 50-0, fuck that motherfucking punk-ass McGregor, bitch, fuck him, like that, on and on. Money team champ, where's the party at, Floyd, all this crap.
Tuesday.
Yeah, which is odd for a UFC commentator to be saying.
I mean, it looks stupid, but at the same time, like, when you're on drugs and you're on a natural and an unnatural high, man, that is the kind of guy I can kill King Kong. That's what that's talking.
That video could be on drunk people doing things.
Yeah, I mean, I have ranted like that in my own bathroom at the mirror. Like,
wow.
You
look in the mirror and call yourself a bitch ass motherfucker?
I just cut pro wrestling promos and shit.
Good. Then the other kicker on this is that Ally Aquinta and Matt Brown have both called out for Snoop Dogg to be fired from his Fight Pass gig because they felt it was unprofessional and inappropriate. Ally Aquinta and Matt Brown were offended by Snoop Dogg.
I mean, all right.
It's disrespectful to fighters. Ally Aquinta told the crowd in Virginia or wherever that fight with Masvidal was to, like, go fuck themselves. And he's known as Raging Al. He destroys hotel rooms and rants and raves and calls Dana White a bitch. And Matt Brown says he doesn't want to watch women fight in the octagon unless they're naked. It's like neither guy has any right to be criticizing what Snoop Dogg says.
I think that Al, and I don't know if it's on purpose or if this is who he is, his gimmick is basically to be the Rachel Maddow to the UFC's Donald Trump. Like, whatever they do, he is going to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Matt Brown, when you have a nickname that you earned because you survived heroin overdoses, well, let's not walk around being offended by what Snoop Dogg said on Instagram in the club. Like, let's just put it in perspective. By the way, have Matt Brown and Court McGee fought each other?
No, probably not, because McGee's 185. Oh, he fought at 170, too.
Yeah, like they need to fight.
Hmm.
The winner gets to be the only guy that gets to have I recovered from heroin story. Like, what are the odds that there's two guys who are professional cage fighters at a high level who both were former heroin addicts? What the fuck? Kurt Cobain's is dead.
Yeah, some people handle it better than others. So a couple people have challenged Conor McGregor following his fight with Mayweather, and it's two people who you probably wouldn't necessarily suspect. One is Michael Phelps. He wants to have a swimming race against Connor. And the other is Damian Maya, who wants to have a straight BJJ match with him. Do you think Connor's going to go into other sports like swimming and BJJ since he's doing boxing?
I love the idea. First of all, they're both actually fabulous ideas, except for I only want to see Connor and Phelps do it if they have Connor be in Dublin and Phelps be in New York. And then they could just beam it in side by side, because Michael Phelps doesn't actually swim against things. He just swims against images of things. As for Damian Maya, that's just great. Yeah, Conor McGregor is going to dress up in a fucking gi and go down to, like, Brazil and wrestle around with you and get choked out. And, like, everybody will look at it and just be like, there's no, like, manly way to get your ass whooped when a guy's laying on his back. Like, it just doesn't work. You look dumb and you're in your pajamas. So, I mean, why does Danica Patrick should call him out to see who, oh, we'll race and see who does better in the Daytona 500? Oh, I just gave him an idea. Why aren't they doing that? They might as well. That's what we're at.
That should be his new thing. He just does all these sports. Like, he trains for 3 months. But it's going to be something people will pay for on pay-per-view.
It's a modern-day Bo Jackson.
Maybe.
He's going around doing every sport he wants, and Bo knows this, but Mac knows this. Mac knows that. Let's see, what else did people pay to see him do? Bowl, for sure. Bowling's got a total freak show pay-per-view vibe to it. Like, bowling seems like something that is just dumb enough that you can have, like, one bowling match somehow. And people are like, yeah, I'm going to watch the big bowling match for this century. Connor will do it.
I'd buy it.
They do darts over there.
Ah, there was a video on that drunk thing. There was a kid, like, held his hand over the dartboard with, like, his two fingers, like, separating the bullseye. Dart hit him square in the hand. He didn't really seem to care that much. He laughed. Former boxer. I think he's former. He might still box.
Think about the fact that we allow a drug so powerful that you can have a dart go through your hand and you don't react. You can just buy this shit by the gallons for next to nothing, basically every 50 feet in this country. What the fuck?
I find it more fucked up that there are dartboards in bars. Whose idea was that? Let's give drunk people sharp projectiles and have them huck them across the bar. That just sounds like a bad idea.
And yet you don't play darts anywhere but a bar.
It's very strange.
Like, nobody, like, people have pool tables at home, and, like, everybody has a dartboard around, kind of, but, like, your friends might come over and play some pool, but if somebody's playing darts, it's always, like, while you're waiting to do something else.
Right.
Nobody's playing pool waiting to do darts.
Darts seems like it's a big thing, like, in England or something, though.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I see it on ESPN, like, these dart tournaments.
Oh, they got, like, pro wrestling entrances, and it's all over the top, because it's England, and the English is unabashedly nationalistic, way more than America is. For all the shit they gave us, like, if there's any sport that England has the slightest bit of success in, the whole country just owns it like there's no tomorrow. They're still living off of having created soccer. It's just ridiculous.
So, I just keep saying former, but boxer Andre Berto, he was the guy who fought Mayweather last before McGregor, told TMZ that he would like to fight in the UFC and be the first champion in boxing and the UFC. He encouraged Dana White to give him a call. Will Berto ever show up in the UFC?
No.
No.
I don't know. I don't know how old he is, but I think he's in his 20s. I mean, he comes from a family. His dad fought the UFC. I think he's like a pro wrestler or something like that. His brother's been a mixed martial artist. Like, they're a combat sports family, and I think he's got an amateur wrestling background. Look, if he wants to do it, he can do it. Nobody's stopping him. Like, it's not like with Conor. Like, you had to go through a lot of shit to make that happen. You couldn't just be like, hey, Conor, you want to come box? You got to be like, look, I'd like to box, but I got to deal with this guy. I'm part of this company. Like, there's all these hoops to jump through. It's like, Berto, if you're good enough, yeah, step right up, pal. They'll have you in a second. UFC has never, ever shied away from anybody. If they think you're going to be good, you're in the company, unless you're Frank Shamrock.
I think Berto's small enough to make 145. I think they should just put him in there with Holloway. Make Holloway a star. You know, not that Berto's a huge name, but you know they'll get some crossover talk. This former boxing champ going into MMA. I'd just say put him in there with Holloway and let Holloway destroy him.
I know what you're saying. I know where you're coming from. At this point, though, I would actually just stay away from any boxing versus MMA matches inside the UFC unless it's Conor. You don't want it to start being one of these weird deals where we kind of start to accept, well, you got a new champion. We want to kind of make him a star. Let's have him do a Japan-style freak show fight against some boxer dude.
Yeah, but I don't think most boxers would want to do it. I mean, it's got to be a name boxer, and it's got to be somebody willing to get their ass kicked in the UFC, but somebody who's not making so much money in boxing that they're willing to take, you know, $1 million payday from the UFC to do it, you know?
I feel like because of this fight, the shame is gone from the crossover fight, and now the boxer's like, hey, look, we can go lose the other guy's sport, and we're fine. Plus, my sport sucks.
Right, but the difference is that the top boxers make so much more money than they would in the UFC. Like, yeah. Some of those guys, like, you've never heard of get, like, $5 million paydays.
Yeah, but they have to live the shame of being a boxer. Their sport sucks. Just stop it. Stop doing your stupid sport. It's not even real striking. It's just a manly version of slap fighting. You don't kick. You don't hit somebody with an elbow. Like, talk about the most British thing ever. Like, we will fight, but we're going to fight under one very, very narrow thing. Again, the British must have, Marcus of Queensbury's rule, totally has a British thing to it, doesn't it? Because think about it, the Brits, why do they have darts? They like darts because they're good at it. So they obviously created boxing. Why? Because they were probably in some area when they were just like, let's have a fight, and then the Greeks came out and just wrestled them and beat their ass, and the French did some savate and kickboxed them and all this stuff, and the Brits are like, we're really bad at fighting. And then they have one guy like, hey, if we are only allowed to punch, and only in the face, never behind the head, you're not allowed to hold the guy, and you have to stay here, and you have to be within 5 feet of each other, and you get 36 minutes to wear him out, I can beat him. Yeah. And that's where boxing comes from. So fuck you, Britain.
Ronda Rousey and Travis Brown got married the same day as
boxing.
The Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Speaking of getting punched in the face by your significant other.
Floyd's good at that. And Travis Brown might be. We don't know. He claims it's not true.
I'm pretty sure Ronda's been hit before, so basically only Connor is he's the only person involved in those out of those four where there's nobody's ever said anything about him hitting somebody.
Well, that was a take I got from a bunch of people where, like, that Conor McGregor seems like a real asshole. He's screaming at Floyd, getting in his face. People who have, like, never seen Conor, never seen Floyd, know nothing about it, but have saw some of the hype leading up to this fight. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. If you're going to side with somebody, side with Conor. He's never beat the shit out of his wife in front of his 10-year-old kids and been arrested for domestic assault like 7 times in the last 10 years.
Yeah, like
if you're cheering for Floyd, like, first of all, I just want to see what's going to happen.
Floyd,
I don't really care,
years
but
years ago.
he was 43 and 0 versus men and 7 and 0 versus women.
Yeah.
But
a piece of shit. Plus, you look at Conor, the one thing I really do see is his girlfriend, Dee, she's with him everywhere.
Mm.
Like, she's I don't see them as, like, a fake pair or anything. Like, that seems real to me. Like, she was there when he was truly poor. She was still obviously good-looking. But I think she just flows into it, and he's got his family as close to him. Connor doesn't seem to have, like, lots of – I think he's got the best type of fame. It's kind of like if you're a big soccer star, the best place to be is America. Because you could do everything you want, and you don't get bugged, but you get bugged just enough. And if you're Connor, like, you're this big star, but you still live in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
There's no offense to Ireland. I'm sure Dublin's got a hell of a party scene. Not really going to get into kind of the crazy trouble that you would if you're in the States living in Vegas. Like, you imagine if Connor lived in Vegas full-time? Oh, shit. But no, he lives in Dublin, and you're a bunch of fucking sheep and stuff.
I think he... Granted, he hypes his fights, and he can be kind of full of shit in that regard, but I think he's pretty genuine. Like, you see an interview with his dad. Like, his dad gets interviewed by people now. But, like, his dad's like, oh, yeah, we're going out on the boat later. Connor bought a boat or whatever. He never actually uses it, but he lets the family use it, and he'll come out and meet us sometimes. It's like he still seems fairly grounded in spite of the mink coats and all the crazy stuff he buys. He's blowing his money, but it seems like he's still got that the family, the Ireland connection, the girlfriend is still there. He's got the kid. Like, there's not a lot of signs that he's going to necessarily go off the deep end. He might piss his money away, but I also think he's, like, got some businesses going. He's got his training program. He's got a line of suits coming out. He's got, like, other irons in the fire, which I think is a good sign.
Yeah, I think that helps you. I think having those kind of business ventures for guys, like when fighters and athletes take on the mogul role, I think as long as they're okay, for some of them at least, it seems to save them. So they don't just piss their money away, because they start thinking, like, I got to be a businessman. And I think anytime these guys start paying closer attention to how much money they have, what they're doing with it, that's a good thing. I do get the impression, like, you see his family. Like, they're not, like, these poor, like, quiet, humble Irish people. Like, they're like, no, we're enjoying this shit, too. Like, they're all along on this ride. But they're all equal still. Like, they're all still the same people. And you see them, it's like, yeah, we have all this money. And guess what? We're living it up. We're buying big cars. We're enjoying the shit out of this, because that's what poor people do when they get money. You want, you buy shit. You have fun with it.
Right.
Like, rich people are like, there's a little different attitude. Like, there's this, like, let's buy a big house. Bring in Mickey. Let's get a keg in here. Like, let's just fill the keg with expensive stuff. Like, they don't understand that you want it to be classy. Like, they would drink a keg of Dom Perignon because that's classy, but I don't want to actually drink, like, out of a glass. Let's just do a keg stand. Yeah. And when the money runs out, the money runs out. But they'll probably keep it around because they got, like, the whole block dependent on them, and they kind of know, let's not waste it all. Let's not be stupid. Like, being stupid with your money, that's too cliche.
Yeah. Rhonda doesn't look like she's being stupid with her money. Granted, she doesn't have as much as Connor, but they got married in Hawaii, her and Travis Brown. They've been dating a while. If you remember back, Brown proposed to her under a waterfall in New Zealand, and I believe Brown grew up in Hawaii, so this is kind of returning to his home, I guess, for the wedding. Being married yourself once, how do you feel this marriage is going to turn out for these two lovebirds?
I mean, they're both so stable. And, I mean, when one of you has a history of being involved with troubled men, and one of you has a history of being a troubled man, I'm not saying this guarantees anything, but I don't think that double negatives make a positive or whatever like they do in math in the real world. I'm saying math is fake, and this won't work. I really do hope that it does. Some of it's just because I remember reading her autobiography, and it was just as, like, she had just kind of come to the UFC. Like, she was actually right when she beat Betch, but Half Guard is kind of started, and she was responsible for big numbers on the site and shit like that. But it was more like just reading that autobiography. Like, I got this real good sense of, you know, this is a girl that got moved around a lot as a kid, and her dad died, and that fucked with her. And then she's just done this judo stuff, and her mom has never really been a very caring person. I think, you know, she's caring, but not, like, outwardly caring. She's tough love. I think Rhonda really just wants to be loved, as cliche as that is, and I hope she gets it. I don't know if 6'7" cage beater was accused of beating his ex-wife is the guy to give it to you, but I hope it is.
Yeah, who are we to judge? How long do you think it'll be before the mom cuts a promo on Travis Brown?
I think she'll be silent.
Do you think?
I think that because when you get to the marriage thing, I think her mom will just look and be like, I have nothing to gain. Like, it's one thing if, like, they're not married, like, if they're just dating, you can talk shit. You hope that, you know, she leaves him and you're being tough, but if they're married, in theory, they're together forever. And so what are you going to do? Be like, well, I'm just going to write my daughter off for the possibility of forever? So I think she'll be quiet publicly for a while, unless it gets really bad. Like, unless she wants to destroy the marriage, which maybe she will. She's a badass bitch. I really didn't want to say bitch. I was trying to think of another word. I didn't like the pejorative for women, but I got nothing. The alliteration went out.
Badass bitch flows, though. Yeah, it's not too bad. What else is going on in the world? We've got a fight announcement. Joe Lozon versus Clay Guida have been added to UFC Norfolk in November, on November 11th. Both guys, obviously a little long in the tooth, but longtime veterans, usually have great fights. Kind of a throwback fight. This fight could have happened 8 years ago, no problem.
It sounds so weird to call this like a throwback fight.
It is, though,
like,
right?
Like, when I think, I'm so used to, like, back in the day when you say, like, it was a throwback fight, it was like, oh, look at this, like, this unskilled guy versus this unskilled guy, or, like, this previous generation. These guys were, I guess they are kind of a previous generation when you look at how they fight, where they still have something they're a little more dominant in, and I can't believe they haven't fought before. It just seems really weird they haven't fought before, but I guess better late than never. That Norfolk, Virginia card, that's a hell of a card.
That's a fun show.
Like, that's a damn good show. It's nowhere near Charlottesville. I looked it up on a map, actually, because I'm like, I wonder if it's even close by, but like, there's like, I think it's Raleigh. No, it can't be Raleigh. That's the wrong state.
Charlotte.
Yeah, maybe Charlotte is going to be, no, Charlotte, Virginia? No.
North Carolina.
Yeah, no, but we're in Virginia. But
North. Oh, Virginia. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, oh, the Charlottesville, Virginia. Fuck you, you fucking hillbillies. I hate the South.
It's not even that far south.
They fought on the side of the South in the Civil War. They're the South.
All right.
Fucking rednecks.
How dare you?
Your dumbass statues. Your stupid flag. Fucking morons.
There's actually a couple MMA shows we should probably talk about this weekend. There's Invicta 25. I know we've got a preview on the site, right?
Yeah. Daza's got a good preview. And that fight, that will be happening in about, best case scenario for people listening to this, 10 hours.
Yeah, tomorrow night, right? I'm so confused. What's tomorrow? Thursday.
It's on Thursday night, so.
That's weird. Do we know why?
Not a clue.
Okay. This one is in
California. Avoid the Labor Day weekend?
Oh, that would make sense, yeah. This is at the Tachi Palace in Lemoore, California. So it's not in the Scottish Rite Temple that we like to talk about so much.
Where is it in California?
Lemoore?
Yeah, and what was the name of the venue?
Tachi Palace?
Tai Chi?
I always thought that, is there another I in there? Maybe what I'm reading is spelt wrong.
I really hope I'm right, because I feel I was really, really confident about that. And also,
yeah. You could be right. I don't know.
I know. Sometimes,
I just sound these words out.
Did you ever read the book It?
No. Stephen King, like the clown?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, me neither.
It's really long, right?
Yeah, and I guess the movie...
Hey, what do you know about that book? It's just really long. That's all I know about it.
It's Stephen King, so, I mean, it's going to be long.
That's a classic, like, statement of someone who doesn't read, though. But go on.
True. Although his books are exceptionally long. Like, come on, 1,000 pages here. Anyway,
I think I read Cujo. I think that's the only Stephen King book I've read.
Never read any of his stuff. But, so I guess the new movie, It, the remake or whatever, I guess it's getting just outstanding reviews. And it's supposed to be part one of maybe of two. And I guess this is, like, all from the kid's perspective. I didn't know that, like, in the book, he writes it from, like, I guess the kid's perspective and the adult's perspective. I don't, maybe it's, like, interwoven in the book or something. Like, that's kind of weird. Like, is this all made up? I thought there really is a killer clown and shit. I also know that I think it's like a metaphor for probably one of his, like, alcoholism. No, that was The Shining, but I'm sure it's some problem that he had in his private life. Like, raping kids.
You're talking about Stephen King?
Yeah. Oh, look, he's got pedophile written all over him. Look at him. He looks like fucking Montgomery Burns.
Anything on the Invicta card catch your eye? The main event is Yana Kunitskaya versus Raquel Palui.
Sure. It's like one of those fucking Hawaiian things. They got weird ass. The Hawaiians, like, they just got a lot of vowels, like A-U vowels with which we call it, the little mark in the sky. Apostrophes. There's a word I couldn't think of. Apostrophe. I don't know. There's a couple of cute chicks on the show. But, I don't know. It's Invicta. If it doesn't have one of the bigger names, because they're all getting their ass beat by Cyborg.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really even have any bigger names now. You know, with Megan Anderson gone and...
Avengers gone.
Avengers gone. Cyborg's obviously gone.
Yeah, but this doesn't even have, like, a title.
No, that main event is the title fight. I don't know what...
How great is that?
I'm going to find out right now.
35.
Oh, okay, so they're fighting for Avengers belt, basically.
Yeah, because What's-Her-Face had the fake win over Avenger.
Was it Kunitskaya?
Yeah, she got the armbar, and the referee had the tap, and then the commission overturned it in, like, the weirdest thing ever that ever happened.
Right. You're not allowed to step on someone's face.
Yep.
I remember that.
That's a law.
It's in the Constitution, I think. Then on September 2nd, I don't know what day of the week that is. Sunday. Saturday, September 2nd, we've got UFC Fight Night 115, Volkov versus Struve. The catch to this fight is both guys are heavyweights and they're really tall. That's the draw of this card.
I love that they do
Rotterdam, that. Netherlands.
I love that we still have some venue to look at freaks in the world. Like, we used to have to go to the circus, and, like, now we got rid of freak shows. We can't, like, make fun of midgets and things like this, but... What are we doing, really? We're just taking two gigantic tall dudes and putting them in a cage and saying, fight. And the only reason, like, the main reason we're having them fight each other is because they're both tall. That's it. We want to think, I wonder what it looks like if two giraffes hit each other. Let's go for it.
Volkov is 6'7", and Struve is 7 feet even.
Jeez.
That's got to be the tallest, like, combined height in UFC history, right?
Maybe, unless one of Semi Schultz fights had used, and there was somebody really, really tall.
I can't believe that Stefan Struve is still only 29.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's been getting his ass kicked forever.
And yet he beats Stipe Miocic.
Yeah, shit happens. But, I mean, he's been in the UFC since 09. He's been there 8 years now.
Oh.
I mean, obviously he had that break because an issue with his heart. Yeah, his heart didn't work, but now it's fine, I guess. Get a second opinion. But Struve is coming off two straight wins, one over Bigfoot and one over Daniel Omelianchuk. So he's got a little bit of a run going. I always just question his chin and his ability to take a shot at this point. And Volkov, I believe, is coming from Bellator, where he was their heavyweight champion for a little while.
Fight already.
Yeah, he beat... Actually, he's had two. He beat Timothy Johnson by split decision and Roy Nelson by unanimous decision. He had a weird falling out, I think, with Bellator or something. Like, he was under contract, and then he didn't fight, and he fought a few times in Russia or something. But anyway, two tall, pale white men fighting in Europe. I don't expect this show to do very well in the ratings at all.
No, this is a local show. Like, this is one of those, there aren't even ratings. I think it's on Fight Pass. And, so, like, this is one of those deals where it exists for the Europeans, and we get it just as a bonus. Like, you can't even really think of it like, oh, this is a really boring show. It's like, yeah, but if you're from Rotterdam, getting to see this is probably good enough for Rotterdam, even though I will say I love that city. It's one of my favorite cities in all of Europe. It's just fabulous.
You've been there?
Yeah, I was there when I was 14. Yeah, it was so neat because Rotterdam, like Amsterdam is very nice, but it still retains a lot of its old world charm, whereas Rotterdam was shelled bad during World War II, so they basically rebuilt the whole thing. And I just remember, like, I was in Europe for a couple months there, and I seen all these old villages and old cities and all this, and out of nowhere, bam, there's Rotterdam. I'm like, wow. It's left me with this impression of, look how neat this is. Like, it's so nice and clean, and I believe Rotterdam is the home to, there's some kind of chocolate there, and I can't remember what it is now. And I'm trying to remember. They also may be the home to gummy bears.
Fun facts. I was unaware of those.
I know I visited the place where they make gummy bears because I bought like a t-shirt.
Okay.
Even though I don't really like gummy bears, but unless they have, you know. But now I'm trying to think, like, in my brain, now my brain says, no, gummy bears are made in Germany. And I'm like, have I been to Germany? I don't remember going to Germany, but maybe I did go there. It's possible.
So maybe you went to the Netherlands and they scammed you and sold you a t-shirt.
I know I went to the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I know I went to France and Belgium. I didn't go to Germany. I went to fucking Belgium. Maybe that's where the chocolate was.
Well, Belgian chocolate is classic.
The chocolate was Belgium, and then I had the gummy bears was in Rotterdam. Point being, that was way more exciting and interesting than this show will be.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a fight pass show, but do you know what the semi-main event is? Do you have any idea?
It was supposed to be Jermaine Durandamy returning to 135. She pulled out, like, in the past, like, 7 or 10 days due to probably still being afraid of Cyborg. So, it's a total piece of shit now.
Yeah, it's Sayer Bahadurzada versus Rob Wilkinson, who does not have a Wikipedia page. That is the that might be the worst, weakest name co-main ever in the history of a UFC.
They're not doing a women's fight at all, are they?
No, Marion Renault is fighting a newcomer named Talita Bernardo. That's okay. Third from the top.
I mean, there's like one or two other fights like on the card that are interesting enough. They're not great or anything, but...
You should look at this card again.
First of all, Sierra Bahadurzada is okay. I thought there was something on there that I was kind of like, oh, look at that.
I mean, it's got Khabalov on it versus Desmond Green, but...
That's all right. Yeah, Hobby Lobby could be pretty good. His name kind of reminds me of Hobby Lobby. That's why I kind of laughed about it.
I think we talked about that before, actually, and I said I'd never heard of Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, I'm positive we probably did.
It sounds familiar. The only other time I've heard of Hobby Lobby is from you. Or actually... There's something. Weren't they stealing some like Egyptian artifacts or something recently?
They were. Selling. I don't know if it's Egyptian or African or Asian, something not white artifacts. Because white people don't have artifacts, do we?
They were like importing them in something weird. Like
it was
something
really weird. Like, why would this company be doing this? Because you'd think that they wouldn't need the money that bad.
No, I think whoever ran the company was a fucking weirdo and was trying to sneak this stuff into the country was more my impression.
Looking at this card, Leon Edwards and Brian Barberina. Leon Edwards, I know enough. Marabek Taisimov, Michael Prezzo. Like, I can at least recognize some of the Hobby Lobby Greens.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
We do have a new contender. For best name ever, Zabit Magomedsharipov. Fuck you. You Dagestani bastards. You can't just start combining Magomedov and Maria Sharapova and three other names into one. And then there's another guy named Abdul Karim Edilov. Abdul Karim, really? God damn you people. And then there's Andrew Holbrook. That's a good name.
This is a rough card. I mean, literally, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys on the show without a Wikipedia page, which doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot, but that's a lot of you don't want to say no-name fighters, but people no one has ever heard of.
Especially when you see, when you got a card with this many fucking lightweights and featherweights on it, that's never good.
Mm.
Lightweight is just one of those divisions where you can just get a ton of guys who are probably good, you kind of know, maybe, but they're so irrelevant as far as what the division means. Like, at least with, like, Marion Renault and Jermaine Durandamy, you could be like, yeah, look, the way the women's division is, whoever wins that could get a title shot. and Volkov and Struve, you can be like, yeah, a little bit of drama there. Volkov wins, you know, they need somebody at heavyweight. But I don't think it really matters if Michael Brazeros beats Mads Bernal. Mads Bernal. What the fuck is that? You fucking bastards. You can't expect anybody to get excited to see Mads Bernal fight.
But you know what else is weird, though? Like, Prezeris, I can picture he's a little roided up Brazilian.
Yeah.
And I actually just pulled up his record. He's won 4 in a row and 6 of 7, and his only losses to Kevin Lee. But I always remember him just being way too small for the weight class. Like, that's my one, like, memory of him. And he's like,
fight Mads Madsen, which is weird.
Well, why are they shipping him all the way from Brazil to the Netherlands? Do you know what? Like, it just seems odd to make him make that trip. Like, what, it'd be one thing if you were going to fight in the States on, like, a Fox card or a show that mattered. But you're going to be on Fight Pass in the Netherlands? Like, that's the card you get injured for and say you can't fight.
Gummy bears exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I spelled gummy wrong. Because I type in G-U-M-M-I bears, just kind of looking it up. And all I was talking about is a lot of fucking some Disney show. I'm like, no, I want gummy bears for food. Okay, there we go.
So why?
It is made in Germany. I did go to Germany. Where did I go in Germany? That's really... Who the fuck forgets when they go to Germany?
I don't know. Crow Cop? You might not remember much.
That's probably true.
I'm very literal. I immediately started to think of someone who might not remember going to Germany, even though it was clearly a rhetorical question. Another person who probably doesn't remember a lot of stuff is Matthew Stafford. He's now the highest paid NFL player in history. He agreed to a $135 million deal with the Detroit Lions for 5 years. So it's going to be an average annual salary of $27 million, which is $2 million more a year than Derek Carr got on the deal he signed in June. Should Matthew Stafford be the highest paid player in the NFL?
Probably not. I mean, I know that that's the nature of the beast. He just came along at the right time. He's the right age. Nobody in the world thinks that he's worth more than Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. When you think about, like, how long quarterbacks can last, I'd still right now straight up trade Aaron Rodgers for him. I don't care how many more years Stafford might have. But, you know, it's just his time came up, and there's money to be had, so he got it. And, look, the Lions are a team where if they go to the playoffs, you're like, oh, okay. Like, they're like a 7-9 to 9-17 these days. That's because of Matthew Stafford. And that doesn't sound like much, but they were an 0-16 team before he showed up. So you got to give him some credit there. He took one of the worst organizations in all of sports and raised it up to the beautiful level of middling. That's pretty good.
Would you credit Calvin Johnson for a lot of that, though?
I think Megatron definitely helped. But, look, Stafford's been there, and quarterbacks run this thing. Calvin Johnson's great and all that, but everything is the quarterback. The entire fucking game just is quarterback dependent. Look at Tom Brady.
It's amazing that there aren't more good ones. Do you know what I mean?
How tough that position is.
Yeah, but and literally there's like a handful of very good quarterbacks, and then there's such a decline after that. Granted, some are young or whatever, but it's like after Brady and Aaron Rodgers, there's a big drop-off. Then who are you talking about next? Like Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, who's getting old? I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, look, somebody will show up, Mariota or Jameis Winston. One of them will probably develop because somebody has to. But I think it's just, again, quarterback in the NFL might be the most difficult position in all sports. When you think of everything you need, like you need the physical gifts, and you need the mental gifts. Like, you need to be very intelligent, at least as far as reading every single thing. And then you got to have just that innate charisma to lead people. Like, that's a lot of it. Like, Jay Cutler had every physical gift you could want. And he was tall and other shit, and I think he read defense as well, but nobody in the world wanted to run through a wall for Jay Cutler. Like, you wouldn't give Jay Cutler some napkins if you were standing up to go to the kitchen. He's such a loser. And, you know, it takes time to kind of become a general. Now he's Patton. Well, not Cutler, but Brady. If Patton was attractive.
You have your blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, correct?
Yep.
You know who else does?
Demi Lovato.
Yes. Do you really think she's a legit blue belt?
Yeah, I have no reason to doubt she could be one, yeah.
Okay.
Because she said she'd been training like a year. I got mine basically in 6 months, and I was a little quick. But, you know, if you really work at it, you could easily get your blue belt in a year just by going to regular classes. And she's getting privates all the time. That will accelerate you. And, you know, she's going to be in reasonable athletic shape, and she's young, and young people do things faster. And she's pretty, and pretty people do things better. That's why they're pretty.
She had a pretty crazy week. She did. She was at the VMAs. She got her blue belt, and she sang the national anthem at Mayweather McGregor. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, I guess we should all be so lucky that our careers could allow us to sing the national anthem at a freak show fight. Not quite the Super Bowl, but I guess it kind of works in a weird way. She's actually kind of like a weird choice. Like, I get why she works as far as, like, if you're in the business and, like, you know she loves this shit. She probably did it for free, but it does seem like an odd, like, you wouldn't expect them to get, like, a real sort of, like Whitney Houston is, like, going to sing there for a number of reasons. But you'd expect them to, like, maybe get somebody kind of, I don't know, rap and trashy or black. It's just black is what I'm trying to really say. It's just like you'd have somebody not as good, and everybody be like, really? You're going to have, like, you know, Aaliyah, if she was alive, God rest her soul, and you'd be like,
you pick Whitney Houston and Aaliyah.
I don't really know pop
your
culture.
Black female singers. Awesome.
They work perfectly. They're both princesses that were taken from us before their time.
Holy shit.
Maybe not Whitney, I mean.
Those are dated references. It's good.
I'm an old man.
Not that old. Holy shit. Let's see. Where were we going from there? Oh, I got more stuff that I dug up in the last little bit. Now, you're an attorney, right?
Technically.
There was a job listing, not attorney-related, and I'm going to tell you about it, and you can tell me if this would interest you. It's a $130,000 salary.
Yes.
Use of a Maserati. Yep. And self-defense training is required.
All right.
So far, so good?
Yep.
A family of six is paying $130,000 per year. If you have 15 years of child care experience, a degree in child psychology, and are trained in self-defense. A London-based family's job listing for a live-in nanny went viral due to the exuberant requirements and the benefits being offered. The mum wrote in the ad, "I feel it is best to be upfront. This is a demanding role. Our children are homeschooled and require constant attention and supervision, even when they are with their teachers. The family is looking for a nanny to take care of four kids, ages 2, 5, 7, and 15, work 6 days a week from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., and travel frequently between homes in London, Barbados, Cape Town, and Atlanta. The applicant must be comfortable with flying regularly, as they may be required to travel internationally up to 3 times a week, depending where the children are." Does that change your feeling on the job at all?
Yeah, it makes me want to get it so I can beat the shit out of the parents. Those are bad people. Those are genuinely bad people who are detached from reality. Whoever they are, they're just bad. They are Marie Antoinette if she really was a bitch. Again, with the misogyny. I mean, all the stuff they want is, first of all, on the face of it, it's just obviously stupid and absurd. Oh, yeah. A lot of people with 15 years child psychology experience who also are into Krav Maga, you assholes. But, like, even if you do find somebody, even if these delusional nutbags who thought that the movie The Pacifier was a good idea, like, then you're going to pay, and then they got to fly around the world 3 times a week and do all this stuff and probably live with you 24/7, blah, blah, blah. And then you're only going to give them $130,000 a year for all that? somebody with 15 years experience as a, at a doctorate level and who does the Krav Maga and travels with you three times a week, you're getting $130,000 a year, you cheap bastards. You're so demanding. You think, oh, that's enough money for just a babysitter. But of course a babysitter has a PhD from Brown in child development and child psychology. And while they were there, of course they took Krav Maga because it's Jewish, and we know how that works. It's always the best. Oh, isn't it just delightful, darling? Oh, the Upper East Side is so nice.
Some of the perks of the job include meals cooked by a Michelin star chef and access to multiple luxury cars, including a Porsche, Range Rover, and a Maserati in which to run errands. We don't mind what the nanny does with their free time, however. Binge drinking or drug taking will not be tolerated and will result in instant... Well, that's going to cost you the job, obviously. I know you're not the best with kids anyway, but the binge drinking and drug taking would preclude you from this position.
If you mix those two with the kid, it worked out real well.
The mother wrote, "My husband and I are often absent due to work and social commitments.
Commitments, you assholes. Your parents, that's the gig. You have a kid, you don't get to have a social life anymore. Ask Matt. Hey, Matt, have you seen Game of Thrones? No. You know why? Because it existed at the same time as his children, so he doesn't get to watch things."
She wrote, "My husband and I are often absent due to work and social commitments, but when we are home, we like to have time alone with our children. Therefore, there will be periods where we ask our nanny to take leave to allow us to have quality time as a family. If you do not have all the necessary qualifications, skills, and experience for the role, then we would politely request that you do not even bother making an application, as it is a waste of our time and yours."
I'm sorry, Dolph Lundgren. We're not accepting your application anymore. Like, he's smart.
So that's the story. That I think that was in some London newspaper.
It's so condescending. Because you know they get, first of all, the Queen of England and her kids and all that, guess what? They don't have one person that does everything. If the Queen was like, "Oh, dearie," this is a shit accent, "Dearie, be a dear now. I'm the Queen, Mum. I'm the Mum now. I'm the Queen. The Queen Mum's different than me. I need a babysitter, but she's got to be good at also kicking somebody's ass, and she has to have a doctorate, a PhD, if you please. Yes. I want all of it in one person. Also, can they fly? Can we get one of those, too, with a fucking umbrella while we're at it? Like, come on now. Come on." And what they're offering, you get to eat this super nice meal and drive around in our fancy cars. And we're going to pay you $130,000 a year if you do all these things. That's like if you went to, or, yeah, you, because I don't have kids, obviously. If you went to, we'll just say, Panama, and you grab somebody, and you're like, "Look, you come here. All you have to do, take care of my kids completely all the time, fly around the world. I'm going to give you $7,000 a year, and you can have all the fucking prepackaged snack food you want." And they'd be like, "That's amazing. That's a great deal." And you can see now we understand how immigration lowers the wages of natural citizens.
Any candidate hired will also have to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
I can only imagine the crazy shit. She actually walked around with a stick up her ass for an entire day. It was really impressive.
So that's a story out of London. So that we're going global this week in the stuff department. A Paris wine collector returned from holiday this week to a nasty surprise, finding a hole in his cellar and emptiness where his valuable collection of vintage wines had been. I know you only drink Malbec, but cheap vodka too. Sorry. Paris police said Wednesday some $250 to $300 bottles worth up to 1,000 euros apiece, which translates to about 1,200 USD. Were stolen from the cellar in the 6th arrondissement of Paris. Thank you. Of Paris sometime between July 28th and Monday while the owner was vacationing. The robbers apparently broke through the wall of the basement cellar from the catacombs network of tunnels under Paris. That they located the cellar so accurately from underground leads, police to suspect the theft was carefully planned. Police said the owner is still putting together an exhaustive...
Really? You're telling me that somebody just dig through a bunch of catacombs and grab $1,000 bottles of wine on a whim? Really? They planned it? Huh, weird.
Lee said the owners...
That was one of the things drunk people do part on Instagram?
The total loss. That would be awesome. That would be the... That would. They could just quit that whole account after that. The total loss could amount to as much as $300,000. Police said two other sellers were also broken into, but nothing was stolen from them.
How do you sell that?
That's a good question. Like,
I
mean, the fine...
Like, I have a 68 Bordeaux. Really? I thought there was only three of those. Yeah. And I got one.
Well, there's a whole lot of, like, counterfeit wine. That's been a big deal. One of the Koch brothers got screwed buying a whole bunch of counterfeit wine, which I find amusing and
oh, damn it, man.
Like a light.
If it tastes good, if it tastes the same, if you can't tell, it's fucking wine. If you drink it.
No, I know, but it's a collector's item like anything. It's like it's not so much about the wine as to say you've got this bottle in Thomas Jefferson cellar. You know what I mean? Like that's
yeah.
What Koch brothers were, I forget which one it was. One of the brothers was buying like these Thomas Jefferson wines, and they were fakes. They were phonies. The guy made
I
it
love
in his
the
base.
Koch brothers, just for the record. Just
okay.
I figured like possibly my most realistic path towards super success in life is through the Koch brothers. Like my best chance of becoming a president or something like that is to like bump into them somehow one day at a party and they'd love me so much and they would just bankroll me. That's my best chance.
Yeah. It seems unlikely you're going to bump into them at a party, but
well, I might arrange it. I might plan it out like these crooks did who stole the wine.
They also have houses on Cape Cod. They were very anti the wind farm in this area. They didn't want them putting like the wind turbines out in Nantucket Sound because
they're allowed to. They're libertarians at least.
They argued that it would ruin their view of Nantucket Sound.
Yeah, the Kennedys said complained the same way. Because it's like, yeah, well, that sucks. I don't blame them. I mean, if I made that kind of money to be on some fancy place, not stuck in the Hamptons like those suckers. Like, yeah, I wouldn't want no fucking turbines disturbing my life.
Yeah, I hate having to look at things. It's terrible. So anyway, yeah.
I do. That's why I love the ocean. I like the idea that you can look out and you don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the end of the world. That's the edge of the world on the flat Earth.
It's weird there's still water in the ocean if the Earth is flat. You'd think it'd all run off the edge.
Really? It's like a bathtub.
Then it's not flat. The bathtub has edges. Is that the theory?
It's more like the half-pipe Earth. It's supposed to flatter. Water-based Earth.
Rock's going to grind it.
What?
Tony Hawk, skateboarder.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear what you said. You cut out for a second. I knew Tony Hawk.
Oh, shit.
I hear you now.
Good video game, Tony Hawk. You ever play those?
I knew it was like the big video game. Everybody liked it. I was kind of like leaving video games at that point, though. I never got into it.
Yeah, it was like the last thing I ever played, like the first Xbox. I think I played it in college. Anyway. What else is going on? Did you hear about the couple who completed their quest this week?
I know. No, I did not.
It's traveling across America.
Yeah, you cut out for a while there.
They were traveling across the United States of America for several decades to complete this quest.
They fuck in every state?
No. They ate at every single Cracker Barrel restaurant in America.
These people live in the South.
It took them,
fucking teed.
I want to say, 40 years to do this. They're both in their 80s now. And they essentially always kept a folded map on which they circled every Cracker Barrel they visited on the road. By 2015, they had visited more than 600, and in the last 2.5 years, they finished off the last 40.
You know, look, It's easy to make fun of these people for a number of reasons. One of the best ones is they probably wouldn't be able to understand that you're making fun of them. But you got to have... I kind of get it. Like, if you want to just kind of go see the United States, you can, like, try to plan it out and go see, like, this and that. But something like this is kind of like going to, like, every baseball stadium where part of it's just to go someplace that they have an excuse. And this gives you, like, oh, we're going to go to every Cracker Barrel. Now we're going to go to all these different states. I've never been to that place. Oh, cool. So it's kind of like your excuse. And then after a while, it's like collecting baseball cards. Like, you got to get the entire set. And that's when you're eating, like, three of them in a day because they're all in the same fucking hillbilly town. It's good food, though.
Yeah, I've been to a couple. It's been a while. There's not many around here. It's more like Vermont and New Hampshire, I feel like, where they're more popular. But yeah, they've traveled like across the country multiple times in RVs and have hit up every single one. 640 of them. That's a lot of Cracker Barrel, man.
Like, these poor bastards from sit there and go, please, if like contacting Cracker Barrel, if you're going to open a new store, can you please ask us first?
Can it be near our home?
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, I don't want to go to fucking Des Moines. Come on. Nobody wants to go to Des Moines.
I don't know if I want to go to Cracker Barrel in a real hurry either. Yeah. Speaking of restaurants, have you ever written a restaurant review in your life? Like on Yelp or TripAdvisor or any of those sites?
I feel like I did for something once. It may have been like a school assignment or something.
You can even do it on like Facebook. There's a million ways you can.
I mean, I like talking about like there's certain restaurants I love. I complained to a restaurant once. That's kind of like a
review. Like you wrote to them?
Yeah.
Like a letter or an email? I'm interested in this.
I can't remember if it was a letter or an email. I think it would have been an email, I'm sure, at that point, yeah.
And what was the issue?
What it was it's my favorite restaurant, and it's kind of expensive, and I go there maybe like once a year.
Does it have a name?
Yeah, the Clubhouse in Oak Brook. There's okay. Like three of them. I think Arnold Palmer or Jack Nicklaus, one of them is one of the investors in it. And it's just good American type of food, but they've got a great steak, and I love it. I talk about it all the time, and I love the food there. And I think I went there with my, probably what am I, 23 or something like that. I went there with the Conger, my old college girlfriend, and the service was just terrible. And like, I never had bad experience like that. Like, I never had poor service before, and there was no excuse. Like, they weren't like super busy or anything like that. Like, I know, like if it's too empty, it can be kind of weird, but they just weren't there, and they seemed like they just kind of wanted to get rid of me. I got the impression, like, somebody was like, oh, it's just, like, but, like, I was dressed up nice, and I was
how most people respond to you, though?
Yeah, it wasn't as bad back then. Like, I would at least try in public to hide it.
Okay.
And so, it seemed like nobody offered us dessert. Mm. Like, and this is a place where, like, again, a steak is $40.
Right.
Like, you know, a nice restaurant, and, like, I remember just being, like, oh, like, that really sucked. And, like, I just kind of, like, wrote them. So, like, I'm not going to, like, protest you guys or anything. Like, I just thought you should know because, I don't know, I figured that's something you should know. And then I got, like, $50 gift certificate. I'm like, fuck me, I should complain all the time. But I never did.
Yeah, that's the problem with giving people free stuff. Sometimes you run the risk of them learning that if they complain, they get stuff.
Oh, those are people that do that for everything in the world. They just complain about everything. And then I don't know how they live with themselves. Just, ugh.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, we've got some customers like that, too. But it's like after a while you catch on and you know them. And you see them coming, you're like, oh, God, what's it going to be this time? But we had one constant complainer. She would also steal our pepper grinders. We have pepper grinders, like,
yeah,
with peppercorns on the table. She steals them. Like, I've seen her on video steal them, but it's like, you can't really call that person out. It would be weird.
Hey, you. You need any pepper?
I know you have the grinder in your purse. Just put it right in her purse. It's awesome.
Good for her.
Yeah, it's great. So then I had to go up to the attic and get another pepper grinder and wash it and put pepper in it. It's awesome. the reason I bring up restaurant reviews is TJ Miller, the comedian. He was also on Silicon Valley on HBO. You familiar? Curly hair guy?
Yep, he had cancer.
Did he?
Yeah, he had like a brain cancer or something like that.
No shit, I did not know that.
And he did, of like half his last special, he talked about it.
Huh, are you a fan?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he is no longer on Silicon Valley. He had a weird falling out, I guess, and was no longer on the show. But prior to being on the show, he used to do a lot of Yelp reviews of restaurants, and now he's getting back into it. Apparently he has more free time now, and it's under his name, but he writes them as like in a funny manner. I'm just going to read you a couple of them. Most of them, he actually gives them a decent star review, but it's all done very tongue-in-cheek. This is on the Furious Spoon, a ramen shop in Chicago. Maybe you're familiar. I thought this place is about as delicious as it gets. I only give it 4 stars in the hopes that one day, somewhere, there will be something more delicious than this. That it does get more delicious than this. But until that day, I think this is about as delicious as it gets. Comments like that. On a steakhouse in L.A., he wrote, I mean, this is as good as it gets while still having your in-laws complain. I, of course, couldn't hear them because I was eating the best ribeye and lobster combination of my life, and each time their voices began to creep into my ears, I drowned them out with a perfectly made gin martini. The staff and servers are always going out of their way to make your dining experience memorable, and they hardly batted an eye when I demanded a third bib. They call me Triple Bibs at the Palm now. Just stuff like that. And he's got like dozens of them that go on and on like that. But apparently nobody discovered this until recently. It's
that's
just kind of funny.
The best thing ever. That's what I hope this show is, that one day like we'll be discovered and people will be like, wow, they just did this shit for a while and nobody ever knew about it. And then it'll go back like, this is genius.
Yeah. I just find it amusing that he bothers doing this. I guess he's done it on 25 businesses since 2009. And he wrote about the Atlanta's famed Cheetah Lounge. I have rarely had such a pleasant daytime strip club experience.
Eric Bischoff's wife was wonderful.
Is that the one they were going to?
Yeah.
That was a good story. Forgot about that. Was he having a three-way or something?
I have something creepy. Creepy because it's Bischoff, and it just whatever he did would be creepy. It was just like boring missionary style in a motel. I'd be like, oh, that's creepy. The creepy part would make the motel makes it extra creepy.
You know what we forgot to talk about?
Something.
The Ultimate Fighter started tonight. Ultimate Fighter 26.
Pop off, and I was like, oh, look at that. Oh, yeah, Justin Gaethje and Eddie Alvarez's coaches. Ooh, can't wait to see that. Seriously, unless one of the coaches fucks one of the girls, who gives a shit?
I'm looking at the teams. The teams are awesome. Team Alvarez has Mark Henry, Marlon Moraes, Corey Anderson, and a guy we just mentioned a few minutes ago, Zabit Magomedov-Sharipov.
Oh, yeah.
Are the coaches for Team Alvarez. Then Gaethje's team is Trevor Whitman, Phil Nurse, Matthew Lopez, Luke Cadillo, and Ali Abdelaziz is one of his coaches.
Are they just fucking with us? Like, seriously? Are they just fighting every potentially corrupt individual? Like, they is connected to war crimes on some level they can? This is just insane.
This is, I believe, a bantamweight season, and the winner of the tournament will be crowned the first ever women's bantamweight champ. So you're talking, no, what? Flyweight. I'm sorry, flyweight, 125. I get those lower divisions.
Yeah, you got to make sure you get that right. You wouldn't want to screw up the 125-pound women's division's name.
Well, when people go back to listen to this in 50 years, I like to be factually correct. So, yes, flyweight, Mighty Mouse's division.
Super bantamweight.
So some names on the show include Foxy Roxy, Barb Honchak, Anna Bennett, Lauren Murphy. It's not a lot of named fighters on here. Montana Stewart, I think, is a fighter who got choked out by, what's her face there? The jiu-jitsu chick. Brazilian. She trains with Benson Henderson. Uh-huh. Fuck is her name? You know who I'm talking... You're just not telling me on purpose?
Uh-huh.
God. She hasn't fought in a long time. Christ. Mackenzie Dern. Thank you.
You had me worried for a second when you said she hasn't fought for a long time. I'm like, she just fought a little bit ago.
No, she hasn't. It's been a while. But I remember that name, Montana Stewart, because I think I wrote something about that or something. That was the one good submission she had, where she, like, I don't even know what Dern did to her, but she twisted.
Almost plotted back the choke.
Yeah. Kenzie Dern last fought March 10th, 27th, so 5 months. And Dern missed weight. She weighed in at 120. I saw some people saying they were made this division for her because they don't think she can make 115 or something.
Oh,
who knows?
Okay.
Who knows? But she's not even on the show. That's the best part.
Look, at least it's like a real division. If you're gonna have another title, at least it's for a new division.
Mm-hmm.
At least it's like being out there and be like, yeah, we need a 135-pound champion, an interim champion there because, you know, she gets afraid a lot. So, no, it's just stupid.
I still think it's weird that Paige Van Zandt is fighting Jessica Eye at 125. The fight is so weird to me for some reason. I feel like there's such a size difference between those two, but maybe I'm just imagining it.
No, there is. Like, they're big. I'm bigger than her. And...
like, I sucks at 135. Like, I know that. But I feel like she either won't make weight or is just going to be too big for Paige. Like, I'm surprised Paige took that fight. It's just the size difference and beating I really doesn't do anything for her. It's just odd.
Paige probably gets one win at that weight and gets a title shot.
That could be true. That's possible, I guess. Anyway, will you be watching the season of The Ultimate Fighter?
I'll watch a little bit here and there.
Yeah, I don't watch any of them anymore, hardly. Unless, like, something really freaky happens that you got to go out of your way to see. If I'm not watching it at all, that doesn't bode well.
Yeah, like, when I do watch it, I usually just fast-forward right to the fight and just watch that. Like, if I hear about some drama happening, something interesting, maybe I'll see it. But I feel like in this day and age, anything really good is going to be on, you know, it's going to be on Facebook. It's going to go viral. Like, you're going to see the memorable parts.
I'm out of touch with it. What else is going on in your world? Anything exciting?
Going to Minnesota this weekend.
How come?
My brother and I are going up there to the family cabin for Labor Day.
Oh, I thought it was Dakotas or something.
They're from the Dakotas, but the cabin that our grandfather built is in Minnesota.
Okay.
So it's all the same. It's not the same, actually. Minnesota's beautiful. And South Dakota's just boring. But, so I'll be there. And I want to stay longer, so maybe we won't do a show next week. Nah, we will. I'll be back to civilization.
Do you have no, like, there's no internet or anything out there? You're completely...
My phone will pick up signals. I can do stuff from my phone a little bit, but there's no internet. The cabin doesn't have hot water.
Really? This is old school.
It doesn't have a shower.
Outdoor?
No, not even an outdoor shower. No, you take a bath. You just wash yourself in the lake.
And this is something you enjoy?
Yeah, it's nice.
See, I have no desire. None. People like camping and shit. I'm like, people invented houses and beds so you wouldn't have to be outside like that. Like,
I wouldn't mind having some more amenities. I won't lie. Internet and a shower, like, a shower and hot water would be nice. That kind of seems like, I mean, they have that shit in Ethiopia. Like, I can't get it there, but our weird uncle is kind of like, oh, I don't want to change anything, and whatever. But it's just it's such a beautiful, beautiful area up there. There's like, everybody's up there is good. They're all just good people.
I picture like something. Remember that movie, Cabin Fever?
Yeah.
Like it probably came out like 15 years ago or something. I picture something like that.
It's just kind of like, it is kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
Everybody's just nice and good. Like, everybody knows that they're there just to get away.
Until you cross that one guy.
Yeah, well, I probably am that guy now.
Okay. All right. You're the creepy guy at the one store in town?
Yep. Oh, that'd be
like, great. Are there any other cabins around, or are you, like, out there in the woods?
No. There, it's beach. Like, there are cabins on a lake, but it's...
okay.
Like, there's, there's cabins all around the whole thing. And,
gotcha.
But, like, it's just densely forested, and you have to drive about 15 minutes to get to anything resembling civilization.
Gotcha.
Outside of that, so... Like, there's a general store up a hill you can walk to.
Right.
Yeah, it's like traveling back in time.
And you're going for how long of a drive is it from where you're
black people? Brian's going to fly up on Friday. I'm going to drive up on Friday. So I'm going to drive him to the Twin Cities, which is about 6 hours to get him. And then from there, it's about another 3.5 hours to where we're going. So it's a long day. Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's
awful.
We'll be coming back Monday.
Will there be traffic on Labor Day for you coming back?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be going to drop Brian off at the airport on Monday, and then I'm just going to grab a hotel or something because I ain't driving through that shit.
Does he live somewhere different?
No, it's just because he's got his where he lives is. It's more he's just got to get back for work.
Okay.
More than I do. So, like, I can take the day off, and he doesn't want to take it off. He just got, married.
Okay. Huh. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have fun. I'll be working this weekend, so that'll be good. As long as no one gets sick again here.
Make sure to tip your waiters, people.
Yes. What's that other say? There's somebody who closes a show with a line like that. Or spay and neuter your dogs or something. You should have a line like that.
Yeah, I mean, tip your servers, cut off your dog's balls. Pretty similar. Just don't mix them up.
But there's somebody who closes out every show with make sure you spay and neuter your pets or something.
Well,
it's like somebody's
course. Did that on The Price is Right. Make sure you spay and neuter your pets.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, people say make sure to tip your server. Like, that's just... Every comedian in the world says that when they get off stage. Make sure to tip your servers because I want to bang her later.
I feel like I need some sort of catchphrase.
No, it's good. I just reworked everything. So we have like a new little 15-second opening riff thingy just to keep things really short. And I'm just going to go back to the old school 15-second outro from There Will Be Blood.
Okay. Sounds good. So we'll be talking again next week, next Wednesday. Halfguarded.com. Thanks for listening. Spay and neuter your pets.
I'm finished.